Hello, and welcome to another episode of Endeavors. Apologies that I was away for the last couple weeks. I just had some life stuff happen, as it all does. Everything's fine, nothing major. So this will probably be the last episode of January, and then if everything goes well, here's hoping I'll be back to a regularly scheduled programming in February. But today, two great interviews. First, you'll hear from Francesco Antonio, and he is a recurring star in a show that's become a bit of a phenomenon over the last little while. It's a show called Wayne. It only recently premiered on YouTube this past week, but its promos have been everywhere for the last couple of months. It stars Mark McKenna as Wayne and Ciara Bravo as Dell, and follows them as they journey from Brockton, Massachusetts to Florida to recover the car of Wayne's deceased father. Created by Sean Simmons and co-written by Deadpool creators Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, Wayne recently premiered on YouTube Premium. And my guest, Francesco Antonio, plays Reggie, Wayne's older stepbrother. You'll also hear from a favorite actor of mine, Glenn Morshower. This interview was originally taped last year around this time as he was promoting another project, but Glenn has another film that was just recently re-released called The Challenger Disaster, The Untold True Story, in which he co-stars with Dean Cain, Eric Hansen, and Les Miles. So I thought I would bring out the interview again for Glenn. Anyway, this is my conversation with Francesco Antonio. Francesco Antonio, hello, good morning. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Good morning to you.
So you are part of the new YouTube Premium series, Wayne. I've been seeing a lot of trailers and a lot of ads for this show. How did this project first come to you, and what intrigued you about it?
I remember I was just heading out. My agent sent me this this script, and I don't want to give too much away, but there was some pretty provocative stuff with this character Reggie, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I dropped everything, and I pulled out my camera, and I sent them a selfie. And our relationship blossomed from there. You know, I just think the writing is fantastic. You know, what attracts me the most is probably the complexity. It's funny, it's gritty, it's scary, it's awesome. It's a great project.
And I know that it's written by the writers of Deadpool, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Those guys are known for having a great sense of humor. What did having them, working with people like them, bring on board for you?
Well, it's just fantastic, and you know, having such creative minds like the guys from Deadpool and everybody that was a part of it really just feeds my process. But again, you have this crazy story, you have some pretty violent stuff, and then you're laughing hysterically. And I know that's what they brought. They brought that flair, you know, similar to what you would see in Deadpool.
It seems like streaming and web series are taking over in this new golden age of television, if you will. What do you think it is about streaming and web series and those types of projects? What can they do that network television or even cable television can't do?
You know, I have this conversation all the time. You know, let's just talk about YouTube, the people doing Wayne, okay? They have a massive platform. I mean, these guys are getting 10 million views on trailers, right? You know, some cable television shows can't even do those numbers at all. So, I mean, they have a large platform. They're great at marketing. They have great content. It's the new wave. And, yeah, I just really good job.
You have a, in addition to the writers, you guys also have a great cast on Wing. You've got Dean Winters, who people would know from Law and Order, CIA Bravo, Maxwell McCabe Locos. Talk about the cast that came together for this project.
Amazing powerhouse cast. I was so honored to work with them, and I learned a lot. They were just fantastic. I mean, every scene, you know, when you're shooting something, it's not like it looks like on TV, right? Everything's different, the cameras and the setup. But the acting was so good, the writing was so good. You really felt like you were a part of this story, and they did a great job.
We talk about how this show is premiering on YouTube Premium, and it seems to me that in all the streaming services that are talked about, the Netflixes, the Hulus, the Amazons, YouTube kind of gets lost in that conversation. How do you think that they are adding or enhancing or changing the streaming game?
With shows like Wayne, you know? They're going to come out with content like they are now, and that's what's going to, I don't know, put them ahead. You know, they have some really cool stuff coming out, and I'm very lucky to be a part of it. So I think that's what they're doing. They're putting out great content.
Now, in addition to Wayne, you also had an honor bestowed on you recently when you won the Best Actor at the Barcelona Planet Film Festival for Addiction. What can you tell us about that project?
Addiction was my baby. It was one of the first projects I did, after getting picked up with Jana. It was my personal project, and I wrote, directed, and acted in it. A personal story and a beautiful story, and I was very lucky with you know, the way we put it together to have received so many nominations and awards worldwide. It was just a fantastic and humbling experience for a new young actor to receive such recognition from such reputable festival.
Now, obviously, anytime you win an award, that is, you know, great, and it's a good feeling, but winning this type of award on a project so personal to you, how much more meaningful is that for you as a storyteller and as an artist?
Well, it is. It says everything. I mean, it's, somebody has seen a story that you're telling and they've heard it, and they're acknowledging you for your work on that. There's no greater feeling. And, you know, every festival that I went to, I was very grateful to them for acknowledging my work.
And I know something else that happened to you recently, you won the Gifted Award at the Action On Film Festival, which I believe was the first time it was ever given to an actor in the festival's history. How does it feel knowing that you're the first person ever to win that award in that capacity?
I gotta tell you, like, honestly, you know, it's almost overwhelming. Because again, I came out here in the industry and working really hard, and then I started getting awards. Like, this is a huge festival, and to receive that award, I don't know. I was honestly stunned, and it just made me appreciate my own work, and it also motivated me to work harder, to do better. You know, I felt like the pressure was on.
One thing that I'm really intrigued about that I saw on your profile here is you're currently wrapping up the television version of What We Do in the Shadows, based on the film, with Jermaine Clement. That is a big deal. Talk to us about how that project came to you.
Oh my God, it was hilarious. You know, they sent me this character. I don't want to give much away, but just this hilarious character. You know, they're all vampires, and it's this Italian vampire, that's what I'll say. And you know, working with Jermaine, like, they're hilarious people in general. And there was a lot of improv, too, so it's just a fantastic experience. It's a hilarious show. I know it's going to do fantastic. It's already got a huge following. Again, I was very lucky to be a part of that project.
We seem to have been... I mean, vampires have been a part of cinema for 80 years, and lately we seem to have reinvented that genre a little bit. Are you would you call yourself a fan of sort of vampires and zombies and the horror filmmaking genre style?
I mean, I'm always into anything that is something different than what I know. I mean, I think that's the purpose of film in general. And I just think that the horror genre is to the extreme of that. As some people believe in the myths of vampires, I can't speak on that, but I think it's fascinating. And I mean, What We Do in the Shadows was more of a comedy, but again, another reinvention of the vampire. Like they're showing the everyday life of a vampire in a very hilarious fashion. So I was happy to be a part of that, I can tell you.
And if that wasn't enough, you also got to work with another great Canadian actor last year, Kim Coates. I know when you guest starred on the great show Bad Blood. An experience like that must have been quite a overwhelming one for a young actor.
I mean, I'm a fan of Kim Coates, so like I'm in a scene with an actor that I admire, and he's so kind, and great at working with young actors, showing them the ropes. It's definitely somebody I can see as a mentor in the future. But yeah, fantastic experience.
You mentioned that you wrote, directed, acted in Addiction. Do you have any more projects that you want to take the helm on in that capacity? Anything you're working on?
I did just do a movie called Love, Sarah, which is great because it's a character other than I've ever played. It's a more romantic, vulnerable character, contrary to Reggie, a thug with gold teeth and tattoos. And it's not that I'm involved in any other capacity other than acting, but I find that I'm getting to the point where on every project I'm on, I participate more than just coming there and knowing my line. As much as they let me, right? But I want to add my creativity as well and give them more than, yeah, just coming in and doing what's expected.
What was your favorite, or do you have maybe a favorite moment or two from the filming of Wayne?
I don't know. There's a lot of favorite moments. I think working with an alligator was definitely an interesting moment for me in my career. Working with a puma was an interesting moment in my career. I'll be honest, I was terrified, but they took care of me. And then I would say, every day was a favorite moment on that set. Like, I really can't wait till you see it. I hope you watch it. I know a lot of people are going to be watching it. It's just a fantastic show.
They always, the joke is that performers should always be wary of working with animals. Not only did you work with animals, but you worked with exotic ones at that. What was it like for you? There you are staring down an alligator and then staring down a puma.
I was holding the alligator. It was my pet. And the puma I was in a cage with. So I'm telling you, buddy, I think I'm a tough guy, but I was definitely uncomfortable. But then at the same time, I'm an actor, so I'm not myself anymore. I'm Reggie, right? And Reggie's not uncomfortable. Reggie loves this kind of stuff. So, it's interesting to go back and forth between those two sides, terrified and not terrified because you're in your role.
I just wanted to pick up on that briefly. Like, do you think the fact that as an actor you're uncomfortable enhances your ability to be comfortable as the character, if that makes sense?
Yeah, very perceptive. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, most people would think, oh, well, what happens if you're uncomfortable or nervous or you have to go to the bathroom? No, I mean, you can use all of those things and turn those into a different emotion, right? Because you have that sensation there. So yeah, I'm uncomfortable. I turn that into a confidence, and I'm actually comfortable, and I'm actually around this all the time.
Do you know yet if we're gonna see a season two of Wayne, or is this a one and done type of deal?
Buddy, I can't say anything. I'm just going to say, watch the show. I watch the show. It's fantastic, and the story doesn't end. Okay, that's what I'll tell you.
All right. Well, the TV series, web series, Wayne, I believe, premieres. Is it released tomorrow? I believe on the 16th of January,
Yep.
on YouTube Premium. Check it out. It's ad free. Francesco Antonio, thanks so much for your time this morning, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Alrighty, have a good day. Cheers.
Take care. Thanks so much.
That was my conversation with actor Francesco Antonio. He co-stars as Reggie in the new YouTube Premium series Wayne, which is out now. My next guest is actor Glenn Morshower. You probably know him best from his role as Special Agent Aaron Pierce in the long-running show 24. But he's also appeared in other shows such as Bloodline, Supergirl, Scandal, Manhattan, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Law and Order SVU, Revolution, CSI, Dallas, and NCIS. This interview originally took place last year when he was promoting his new film, Bomb City. As mentioned in the intro, he has another film coming out titled The Challenger Disaster, in which he plays lawyer Finch Richards opposite Dean Cain. He is also appearing in season two of the TV series The Resident, where he plays Marshall Winthrop, and that is airing now. This is my conversation with Glenn Morshower.
Glenn Morshower, hello. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
So you're in a new film, Bomb City. I'm really intrigued by this film. It's about the Brian Dennehy case for those who don't know. And I'm curious for you, being from Texas, how this film resonated with you personally.
Well, I was born and raised down here. I left for LA when I was 18 years old, but wound up buying a second home in Dallas about 6 years ago. So I am a native Texan. And the story really rocked the world news in 1997 when a high school jock was charged with first-degree murder for running over one of the punks in the area in this ongoing war between the jocks and the punks. And he ran over him with a Cadillac and never went to jail for it. He wound up getting basically away with murder. And I play the defense attorney in the storyline, and it is one of the best made indie films of my career. I am tremendously proud of it, directed by a guy named Jameson Brooks, and we shot it on location in Dallas and Amarillo.
Is now, if I'm correct, it's Jameson's first, like it's his feature film debut. Working with a first time director is It can be an interesting experience. What was yours like?
It's funny. He looked like an old pro. He truly did. He looked like he'd been at it for years. But it was his debut. And the main thing is that he wasn't too hands-on. He wasn't a control freak in any way, shape, or form. He knew what he wanted. He was clear with his vision. And he would set up the shot and then really trust that by casting the correct actors, he could allow their instincts to take over. He gave notes as to what the story was because he grew up during that time in Amarillo. That's where he's from. So that's his old stomping ground. But Jameson was as allowing a director as I've ever worked with, and we've become very dear friends. But yeah, he will be a force to be dealt with for years to come.
The real life case obviously took place in Amarillo, and you partially shot it there. Did that add a sense of authenticity to the film that perhaps you wouldn't have been able to get had you shot in LA?
Yeah, eerily so, in fact. But I physically did not travel to Amarillo because I was a part of the courtroom scenes only, and those were shot here in the Dallas area. But the small crew that did go to Amarillo, it brought up a lot of old memories, and certainly the community was well aware of the fact that a film was being shot there, and they were very supportive and cooperative. Last night, in fact, the film had its premiere in Amarillo, And I was not, unfortunately, able to be there because I teach acting in Dallas and L.A. and Salt Lake City, three states a week, every week. And I didn't know far enough in advance to make arrangements, but they played to over 1,200 people in this massive auditorium there. So the community really came out and supported it. And the families of the people involved were in direct support of the film as well. So it's the whole thing has been a little bit surreal to realize that you're telling a true story. And in this case, many of the families have been present on set while we were rolling camera.
There are a few reviews out there that give your character sort of the title of the main villain of the piece. How do you think of him, and what do you relish about playing sort of that type of character, especially in to contrast with the roles that we might be of yours that we might be more familiar with?
You know, I've only played a handful of attorneys in my career, but I've played a lot of men of power. And this was a very powerful man who had a job to do. I never had a chance to speak with the man, so I don't know if it played well with his own morality, the fact that he was fighting for someone who clearly was guilty of a crime, but he had to couch it in such a way that it made it seem to be acceptable because of the type of person who he had killed, which was a non-contributing presence in society, and he had run over a punk after all. And I couldn't help but be aware, and I think so many people, especially when they see this story, can't help but be aware of the fact that if the roles had been reversed and a punk had run over a jock, this jock got away with murder because he was from an upstanding family, very affluent community, played by all the rules, was a very religious, church-going young man, and so he was viewed as a contributing member of society, and therefore, the life of the young man, the life that was lost, was almost as though he were some sort of societal mosquito, and all that had happened here was he had been swatted and not to be worried about ever again. So it's really, really a grotesque injustice is what the film is about, among other things, and old school Texas justice. So I love that I got to be a part of such a powerful and compelling story.
Now, I know you're also a motivational speaker, and I'm curious if you find maybe any similarities between your oratory skills as a public speaker and the oratory skills of a lawyer.
There is no question. There was a direct link because Jameson Brooks, the director, gave me carte blanche to simply own the courtroom. And he looked at me, he patted me on the back, and he said, "Buddy, this is your show." And that meant take the stage and parade around the courtroom. And he allowed me to have my own interpretation of it. We didn't base it on, I mean, they had transcripts from the actual courtroom proceedings, but I did not have to follow those to a T. We were not required by law to do that or anything. And I also didn't have to do it exactly the way the attorney himself presented it, because we have creative license to add our own interpretations into it. And I decided that the way to do it would be to include the entire courtroom and not merely to play to the jury alone, but rather to make it a community inclusive presentation, to ask how you would feel if such and such. And I really felt there were several times in it when I mean this honestly, when I forgot that I was doing a movie, when I bought in so completely to what we were doing that it became my courtroom to pitch a case. And honest to God, I am more proud of this work than any single moment I have spent in front of a motion picture camera, and I've been making movies for 43 years. I'm grateful to Major Dodge, one of the producers who also happens to be an actor in the film, for offering the role to me, and I think this movie is going to do big, big things.
You're sort of the big name in this movie. How does that feel for you, especially since you're sort of labeled as one of those actors that we may have seen you, but we may not know you type of thing?
Yeah, well, you know, we all get our turn eventually if we stay in the game long enough. There have been several character actors who've gone on to change that. Philip Seymour Hoffman for years was someone nobody knew. He was a bad guy, and then he got a couple of key breaks in his career, and he became Philip Seymour Hoffman, and people never called him that guy again. They knew his name. Chris Cooper, same exact way. Kathy Bates, same exact way. And I could go on and on and on, but these were people who appeared in movies for years without anybody knowing their name, and everybody knew their work. And everyone went, yeah, yeah, her. There are many of those people still today. I've been one of those people for years. I've done leads in films, but this is a whole different ball of wax. And I think the fact that I was a native Texan made me a front runner for it. But yeah, I'm really pleased to be as present in this film as I am, and am touched by their decision to have me come aboard.
Speaking of sort of signature roles, how often do you get called Aaron in the streets?
Way more often than I get called Glenn. And I am stopped out in public every day of my life, and usually many times a day, because we have 24 fans not only throughout the U.S., but frankly, all over the world. Everywhere I've traveled since I started doing this show, which dates all the way back to the summertime of 2001, we began filming our season shortly before 9/11 happened. And in fact, they had to go back and re-edit the pilot based on 9/11. It was too close to home because they had an incident aboard an airplane. And ever since 2001, the show's enormous global popularity changed the way people would greet me all over the world. So it's been a real blessing in my life. And between that and Transformers, those two projects alone explain about 90% of the times when people stop me in the street. And they do call me Aaron constantly. Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett Show used to come by and watch us film 24. And he came up to me one day on set, and he came over to introduce himself, and I couldn't believe he was going to introduce himself. It's like, Harvey, I know who you are. And he goes, Aaron, I want you to meet my family. And I corrected him. I said, it's Glenn, Harvey. And he actually re-corrected me. I got a kick out of it. I love telling the story. But he goes, no. Just while you meet my family, please, just go with Aaron. You're Aaron. You're Aaron to all of us. And he introduced me to his family. He introduced me to his agent. And he introduced me as Aaron Pierce. And he insisted on maintaining that game. So I don't take offense to it. Frankly, I'm complimented by it. I loved playing Aaron Pierce. And so when people call me Aaron, I don't even bother to correct them anymore. I answer to Aaron, I wave, and I smile.
Now, I know, in addition to acting, we mentioned your public speaking, and you also teach. How do those...
Let me guess your question. Your next question is, when do you have time to breathe?
I was going to say, how are those things fulfilling in ways playing a character aren't?
Well, that's an easy question and one that I've answered many times. The main reason is because when I'm playing a character, I am bringing forth someone else's vision. As a teacher and a speaker, those are my feelings. Those are my words. I don't have to check in with anyone else for approval. I make whatever changes I want to make because it's my story, and it is the ultimate fulfillment. Way more than making movies, my favorite thing in the world to do is public speaking. I do a tremendous amount of it. I speak in all sorts of different environments, from Fortune 500 companies to church groups to schools to colleges all over America, and have done it for many, many years. 3 years ago, and I was a teacher of a course in audition mastery in L.A. a long time ago, and then moved from that to teaching improv in L.A. I'm going back like 32 years ago. I'm 58 now, and 3 years ago I opened my own scene study workshop in Dallas called the Extra Mile Acting Workshop. The Extra Mile is a way of life. That's what all my motivational speaking is about, is living the Extra Mile mindset. And so I opened this Extra Mile workshop here in Dallas, and it went so well that I decided a year and a half ago to open a second one in Salt Lake City, and 6 months ago I opened a third one in Los Angeles. So every week that I'm not doing a film and I'm not on a stage speaking, I begin my week by teaching Tuesday all day and night in Dallas, Wednesday day, Thursday morning I fly to L.A., all day Friday and all night Friday I teach in L.A., fly to Salt Lake Saturday, teach Saturday night and come back to Dallas either Sunday or Monday and rinse and repeat. And I do it every week. I coach actors in three states. And it is the most fulfilling work imaginable. And now I literally coach lifestyle choices and joy as a way of living. Your dreams really can and will come true, provided you hold enough belief and willingness to follow through to create the life your heart desires.
Quickly, do you think Kosher Texas will ever come to fruition?
God, how do you know about that? How on earth do you know about that?
I think I read it in an interview you did with some paper in Dallas years ago. I know that it was originally envisioned as a sitcom for Don Rickles.
Oh, my God. I really have to commend you. You have certainly done your work for this interview. It's amazing how many people will invite you to do their show or a telephone interview or a radio in person or even television interview. And they're aware of so very little, and in some instances, nothing at all. They just want to chat with you. Kosher Texas is a script that I wrote with my dear friend David Lloyd. We wrote it in the fall of 2000 as a vehicle for me to star in opposite Don Rickles at that time. And we were successful in getting our script into Don's physical hands because our director was friends with Don. And he gave the script to Don, and 1 week later I heard from Don Rickles, who asked me if I would meet him backstage in Las Vegas, if I would be his guest at his show. And I went to Vegas and wanted to talk to Don after the show and went backstage. And Don started talking in great detail about our script, and he did not have it in front of him, which really touched me because he knew all the character names. And he said, here's the deal, Glenn. As he was talking about it, I thought, my God, he really has read this, and he loves it. He said, but I am too busy to do the lead in it. I want to do it, but can you write me a recurring role? And we thought, sure, we'll make you Pastor Bud Pickle, the pastor of the Kosher Baptist Church. And Kosher is a town, it's a fictional town, but it's in West Texas, and it's split 50-50 between Jews and Baptists. So it's half Jewish, half Baptist. And he would play the pastor of the Kosher Baptist Church, who's head of the Jews for Jesus organization. He loved the idea. And the very next day, as fate would have it, I was cast as the sheriff in a brand new show for CBS called CSI, which went on to become the number one show in the country. And I wound up with a full-time job. That very next season, I came aboard 24, and from that to the West Wing. And at one point in 2001 and 2, I was doing three TV series, running role in all three simultaneously. Kosher Texas went on to ICE, and I started the busiest period of my career, and I have not stopped moving since. I'm now doing a series for Fox that just premiered this week called The Resident. And so all I can say is at some point when the music stops, I will find a network, and we will sell Kosher Texas. We will get it on the air, and my dream come true. Thank you so much, by the way, for asking about this. My dream come true would be to shoot Kosher Texas right here in Dallas and have Dallas have its very first three-camera show that is done in front of a live audience weekly, made in Texas, about Texas.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to see that show come to fruition soon. The Resident is on screens now, and Bomb City comes out on February 9th, I believe. Glenn Morshart.
Yeah, the Resident is on Fox Television.
Resident is Fox Television. Yes, that is correct.
Right.
And and Bomb City will be out on February 9th. Glenn Morshart, thanks so much for taking the time to squeeze me in today.
It's my extreme pleasure. Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Alrighty, have a good day. Cheers.
Bye, buddy.